E brings us to endangered species. And after his initial expedition to Madagascar, Douglas developed a deep-seated interest in wildlife conservation, so much so that he became an active patron of both the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund and Save the Rhino International. Alien life forms may not be about to destroy the Earth for the sake of an intergalactic bypass, but surely and inexorably, man alone is doing his best to change life on this Earth forever. This was Douglas's theme when he spoke about it during an interview with Emma Freud in January 1994.
We have been told for about as long as we can remember that the rhino is on the verge of extinction. We've been told it so often we almost think that this is the natural state for rhinos to be in, on the verge of extinction. But rhinos have been around for 40 million years. We've been around for about a million. Now, during that time, We in recent times have been beset by all sorts of desperate problems, war, famine, plague and pestilence, now of course AIDS, but none of those are anything like as bad as the problem that the rhinos are currently beset with, and that is human beings. We are killing them off at the most astonishing rate. And if the poaching isn't finished, doesn't stop this year, 1994, they will be dead and gone within 4 years. And that's that. And if you don't have any rhinos, you're not going to get any more rhinos, because we all know how rhinos are made. And you need a couple of rhinos to do it.
What can be done about that?
Well, this is actually a very, very hard question to answer. Let me give you an example of a very brave attempt that was made recently to try and stop the poaching, which has gone very badly wrong. Wardens caught the rhinos and just cut off their horns so that nobody would then want to kill them for their horns. And what's happened, of course, is that poachers go after a rhino, and they may have stalked it for a couple of days. When they find it and find it hasn't got a horn, they kill it anyway so they don't waste their time tracking it again. So I'm afraid that went very, very badly wrong, and it's desperate that's happened. As a result of that, I mean, there's one population of rhinos in Zambia gone down from 90 to less than 10, and that's since August. To me, the most sort of appalling aspect of it is the fact that they're used for being made into dagger handles for Yemeni princes. You know, it's a sort of sign of macho strength and so on, for something like $50,000. But the amount of money the poacher who, you know, crosses over from Sudan into Zaire to risk his own life to kill a rhino, he'll probably get something like $6 or $10 for that horn. So it's $6 or $10 that makes the difference between, you know, a rhino living and dying. The way in which the Environmental Investigation Agency, who are sort of prime movers in this campaign to try and stop this happening, is just stop the trade, because if the trade stops, then, you know, then the poachers won't get paid to do this.
Douglas, if it doesn't stop, if rhinos do go on being killed and they do become extinct, it isn't just that our children are not going to enjoy the sight of the rhino. It'll have huge repercussions on the entire population of animals in the world, won't it?
Yes, well, this is something which is always very difficult to quantify. But we live in a network, an ecological network, in which one animal and one plant and one insect, they all interrelate in all kinds of complicated symbiotic ways. And you can't simply take, you know, a major thing out and not have other repercussions. One doesn't even know what the other repercussions necessarily will be. They may be relatively minor, they may be hugely major. The system of ecology is vastly more complex than we can actually comprehend. You know, we tease out bits of it, and every bit we follow, it's an extraordinary sort of detective trail of contacts between one animal and another. And, you know, we're just sort of going through all these network connections, you know, with chainsaws, just sort of smashing it all up. We don't know what the consequences will be, but they are always much more complicated than we ever are prepared for.
Towards the end of the year 2000, just a few months before his death, Douglas was still passionately defending the conservation cause.
There's a terrible irony in the fact that just as we arrive at what we call the information age and are finally able to start unravelling and exploring the astonishing complexity of biological life, we are also busy destroying it at an unprecedented rate. We have just spent billions of dollars and untold man-years of research on the first stage of documenting the genome of just one species, man, while at the same time driving species after completely unknown species to extinction on a daily basis. The biology of the Amazon rainforest is a resource the richness of which is beyond our comprehension. Future generations will surely regard its destruction as one of humanity's greatest ever crimes.
and that we should have done it at the very time that we were first in a position to understand its value will be both incomprehensible and unforgivable.
Several of the species Douglas leapt to the defence of can be found elsewhere on this collection. So for the moment, let's move on to F. F for footlights, which takes us back almost to the beginning of Douglas's career, when he and I were both at Cambridge University together.